This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to interview one of my favorite guests. As all of you know, I'm a real fan of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Their product is extraordinary, solidly backed by impressive research. However, many of you don't know the incredible background story on how Dr. O'Hara's probiotics became a worldwide leader in probiotic health. It all goes back to Japan 45 years ago. And joining us today to share the genesis and story of this amazing product is Dr. Ross Pelton. He's a pharmacist, clinical nutritionist, and health educator. He is scientific advisor for Essential Formulas, Inc., and was named as one of the top 50 most influential pharmacists in the U.S. by American Druggist magazine for his work in natural medicine. And Ross, it's a pleasure having you on the program. And I have in front of me your handsome visage, which graces the cover of the Townsend Letter, which is a prestigious natural medicine publication. I think it's the foremost publication on natural medicine. And you made the cover with a cover story entitled Drug-Induced Nutrient Depletions. Congratulations.
Thanks, Dr. Ron. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be on with you and your Intelligent Medicine audience. And yes, my one of my signature topics over the years was the drug-induced nutrient depletion topic. I wrote the drug-induced nutrient depletion handbook, and I've been educating healthcare professionals about this for decades. And we did a review article of it that was published in the Townsend Letter, so it was nice to get some additional publicity on that topic.
And you can, that's for healthcare practitioners and also very wonky lay people who want to get the latest cutting-edge information about natural medicine. But also, you told me in the lead-up to this program, we talked for a few moments before we went on the air, about offering a link to some of that information about drug-induced nutrient depletions.
Right. My books are out of print on drug-induced nutrient depletions, but I've created a quick reference guide to drug-induced nutrient depletions, which has the major categories of drugs and the nutrients that are depleted. And if any of your audience would like a free copy of this, they can email me, and my email address is ross@naturalpharmacist.net, and then /DIND for drug-induced nutrient depletions. And I'll give you that link at the end.
We'll remind people.
So you can post it. You bet.
Yep, great. Okay, so you just got back from Japan, and you actually had the opportunity to meet and interact with the Dr. O'Hara team last year. So tell us about that experience. Of course, Dr. O'Hara passed away in 2016, but his legacy is being perpetuated with his wife and their sons. So this is a real tradition of excellence in probiotic manufacture. So talk to us about that trip.
Sure. It was a fascinating experience, Dr. Hoffman. And I'd like to really start by giving a little background of Dr. O'Hara and how he got started with this amazing product that now has a worldwide reputation. Dr. O'Hara was originally a very successful landscape architect. That was his first career. And in 1976, he was invited by the government of Malaysia to go to Kota Kinabalu, which is the capital city in the state of Sabah in Malaysia, And that's actually a Malaysian state that's on the island of Borneo. But anyway, Dr. Hir accepted this invitation.
Tropical place.
Yes, you bet. Southeast Asian tropical place. And 11 of the Malaysian states are on the mainland, and two of them, Sarawak and Sabah, are on the island of Borneo, or what was formerly called Borneo. So Dr. O'Hara, with his building his international reputation as a landscape architect, had this invitation, and he went to Malaysia and designed a very unique, it's called a Freedom Park. And Dr. O'Hara, before he became a landscape architect and got his college degree, he was actually a Buddhist monk. So for a number of years, he was in a Buddhist monastery and was very peaceful and connected to nature. And a lot of his landscape architectural designs incorporate a lot of the peaceful nature into them. And so he did this architectural design in Malaysia. And in 1981, he was invited back to attend the grand opening ceremonies, which he did. And at the grand opening ceremonies, he happened to ingest some tainted food and got violently ill. Turns out that there was a local shaman attending the grand opening ceremonies who happened to see Dr. O'Hara in great distress. And so the shaman gave Dr. O'Hara a little pasty, syrupy substance orally, and Dr. O'Hara was well quickly, and he was amazed at how quickly he recovered. So being a curious individual, he asked some questions. He found out this substance he had been given by the shaman was made by a fermentation process with locally grown Malaysian fruits and vegetables. And Dr. O'Hara took some samples of this substance back to Japan and studied it for a while and played around with it. And then he got frustrated because he didn't have the knowledge to study it the way he wanted to. So at age 49, with a successful landscape architect career going, Dr. O'Hara went back to school and got his PhD in microbiology.
Wow, so a Renaissance man.
Yeah, really. That's how this whole thing started. So one thing I like to stress when I tell the story is synchronicity is a really interesting process that happens occasionally, and there are so many ifs, so many synchronicities involved in Dr. O'Hara's creating Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. If he hadn't gotten invited by Malaysia to create this park, and if he hadn't gone back to the grand opening ceremonies, and if he hadn't eaten some bad food and gotten violently ill, and if there hadn't been a shaman locally present that saw him in distress and gave him a sample of the Malaysian fermented fruit and vegetable substance that cured him quickly, this all wouldn't have happened. So it's really a unique story, and Dr. O'Hara, with his inquisitive mind, went back to school and became a microbiologist and used his scientific education to further study this process of fermentation. And so that's how and why the multi-year fermentation for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics got started. And it's very unique. There is no other probiotic in the world that uses this multi-year fermentation process. And back when Dr. O'Hara started this, he had the vision and the understanding that the bacteria would break down the fibers in food and create some other compounds that had some significant health benefits. He called these compounds biogenics. They're now referred to as postbiotic metabolites. But this was long before the scientific community ever understood the fact that your probiotic bacteria could, in fact, digest the fibers in foods and create these other health promoting compounds. And so that's really the background of the story and how Dr. O'Hara's probiotics got started.
Well, you know, lest we think that this is a product that's made by Buddhist monks tramping barefoot on, fermented fruits and vegetables. What he did is kind of interesting. He took a folkloric remedy and he took it to Japan, where they have a tradition of brewing and fermentation, you know, with soy sauce and with, miso and with natto and of course, beer that's been going on for perhaps more than centuries, millennia.
Yeah.
And also he fused that with kind of a high-tech modern approach where, from what I understand, it's now manufactured under the most rigorous conditions in stainless steel vats and, under temperature-controlled conditions. Can you describe what their facility is like?
Sure. It is really quite amazing, Dr. Hoffman. The level of technology is really high-end. I've been to pharmaceutical manufacturing plants and high-end scientific laboratories and universities around the world, and the manufacturing facility for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is as high-tech as anything I've ever seen. The warehouse is completely sterile. All the employees have to go through an airlock that totally cleans them of any particulate matter and any bacteria and viruses that are on their body. And the quality control is just extensive. Every single batch is tested in-house, and also samples of every single batch are sent to independent laboratories outside to verify the purity. And so it's a really interesting facility, and the equipment there, the scanning microscopes and the high-speed centrifuges and so forth, the technology and the equipment is really quite mind-boggling. So I was very impressed by the manufacturing facility and the equipment and the dedication to cleanliness and purity of the product.
You know, typically when you go buy a bottle of fine wine, you know, to see a vintage, you know, it may be a very fine wine. If here in 2020 you buy something that's a 2017 vintage, you know, 3 years old, something that's been aged. What's the typical age for the Dr. Hero's products? How long do they undergo fermentation?
The Dr. Hero's process, there's the original formula, which is sold at the retail level in health food stores and vitamin stores, that's a three-year fermentation process. There are 80-gallon fermentation vats in the warehouse, and they start with a lot of different types of organically grown foods that are harvested at their peak of ripeness, so the nutritional content is at its highest. They shred these organically grown foods and add them to the fermentation vats, and then they have 12 synergistic strains of bacteria that are added, and those are the starter strains to start the fermentation process and break down the fibers in the food, because fibers are the food for your bacteria. And they have 3 years in which they're breaking down these fibers and producing these postbiotic metabolites. Some of the three-year fermentation product is then transferred to large anaerobic fermentation vats for another 2 additional years of fermentation. And that really is important in the professional formula, because over 99% of your bacteria reside in the large intestine and colon, mm-hmm. which is an anaerobic environment. And so the anaerobic bacteria are getting two additional years to produce their postbiotic metabolites.
It's almost like a synthetic version of the gastrointestinal tract, isn't it, the way they do it?
Well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Hoffman. In some of my slides, I have a picture of the human gastrointestinal tract, and right next to it, a picture of the fermentation vats with Dr. O'Hara's production process. And I say that Dr. O'Hara is mimicking nature, because in your human gastrointestinal tract, you ingest food, and the bacteria in your GI tract break down the fibers and produce the postbiotic metabolites. Dr. O'Hara just created an external system and gives it years in which to produce the postbiotic metabolites.
Yeah, I don't want to get icky here, but, you know, fecal transplantation is really a buzzword these days in terms of its ability to transform the GI tracts of people with serious maladies, and even having an effect on mood. They're so-called psychobiotics. And yet, you know, that's a kind of very dangerous potentially process, because you have to have donors that are sterile, and, you know, all kinds of problems can arise if a pathogenic bacteria is somehow transferred to an immune suppressed individual. And so by doing this synthetically, I mean, we don't even want to conjure up the notion that poop is involved here, but by analogy, they're creating a kind of a simulation of what is in the GI tract through modern high-tech means that are safe and monitored and so on. Am I going a little too far by making that analogy?
No, that's exactly right. That's a good analogy. And the thing that I'm so excited about is that I've written an article called Postbiotic Metabolites, the New Frontier in Microbiome Science. And this is what's really important about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. It the fermentation process allows the bacteria time to break down the fibers and produce these secondary compounds that are called postbiotic metabolites. And a lot of emphasis in the microbiome scientific community is shifting away from just identifying and naming different strains of bacteria. And a lot of money is being devoted now into researching these postbiotic metabolites, mm-hmm. because we're starting to learn that these are the master health regulating compound for the whole body. They don't just influence your gastrointestinal tract. They regulate every single organ system, including the brain and your immune system. And so Dr. Hirsch is really on the cutting edge of the new frontier in microbiome science.
Have they in any way begun to characterize these postbiotics? I mean, with modern techniques of omics and you know, analysis, we now have the ability relatively inexpensively to categorize all the different chemicals that are being made within the gastrointestinal tract. Is there any breakdown of some of these essential components?
Yes, there is. We're starting to get there. We know that there are short-chain fatty acids, and there are fulvic acids and nucleic acids, and hydrogen peroxide is produced by some of the strains of bacteria, which suppresses the growth of yeast like candida. And these bacteria make a whole range of vitamins. They make the B vitamins and vitamin K. So they're basically little chemical factories. And in the book, The Mind-Gut Connection, which is written by a very well-respected medical doctor who's also a big name in the microbiome scientific community. In his book, The Mind-Gut Connection, Dr. Emron Mayer says, your bacteria utilize the information in their millions of genes to break down your food and create hundreds of thousands of metabolites. So we're just starting to learn about this vast new frontier of all the compounds that your probiotic bacteria are able to create. But what I like to stress, Dr. Hoffman, is that what's really important is a diversity in your microbiome, which means a lot of different types of bacteria. And if you get a diversity of bacteria, then they will produce a diversity of postbiotic metabolites and do a much better job of regulating your health. But there's two pieces to the puzzle, probiotic bacteria and fiber in the diet. And if people don't learn how to feed their probiotic bacteria well, they will not thrive and survive. So fiber is critical for maintaining a healthy microbiome.
And that's the third leg of the stool, which is and not to inadvertently pun, but you know, we're talking about postbiotics, we talk about probiotics, but also what you just mentioned, prebiotics. You have to feed the bacteria, even if you introduce beneficial bacteria in your intestine, with the right kind of diet, and not poison your intestinal contents with chemical ingredients, you know, chlorine, fluoride, and emulsifiers.
Glyphosate.
You know, yeah, glyphosate. Yeah, clearly. I mean, all these things conspire against a healthy microbiome.
Yeah, you're right. And another thing that I emphasize, Dr. Hoffman, there was a study that I found, I use it in a lot of my seminars, that stated that 90% of American children and adults do not consume the recommended daily allowance of fiber. So there's thousands and thousands of people taking probiotics, but they're not consuming a high fiber diet, so they're not getting much benefit from their probiotics.
So fundamentally, For the sake of convenience, we talk about Dr. Ahira as a probiotic, but it differs fundamentally from most probiotic products on the market. You know, the products that have, you know, whatever, 8 billion or 20 billion, what are called CFUs, colony-forming units. They, you know, it's sort of a body count where they attempt to equate the potency of the product with its efficacy in helping our GI tracts.
You're right. I'm glad you brought this up, because balance and diversity are two critical factors in creating and maintaining a healthy microbiome. And people are misinformed and have the wrong idea when they think that more is better. People say, mine's got 30 billion, mine's got 50 billion, mine's got 100 billion. When you ingest probiotics that have these huge numbers of one or just two strains of bacteria, you're really working against balance and diversity. So it's not just the numbers. You want to have a wide range of different types of bacteria. That's the diversity. And balance is also critical, and having the right numbers of the right strains of bacteria. So it's better to focus on the postbiotic metabolites, which are the real big bang for your buck. Dr. Rahira's does have live bacteria, but it's primarily a fermented food product that directly delivers over 500 postbiotic metabolites in every dose.
Is this product popular in Japan? Is this something that is utilized by Japanese consumers, but also is it prescribed by doctors over there?
Yeah, it's very popular in Japan, you bet. And now it's available in over 20 countries worldwide.
Okay. All right. Well, we laid the groundwork for a discussion in part two about restoring balance to the gastrointestinal tract. I want to open our lens to dealing with some common gastro problems. Our guest is Dr. Ross Pelton. Dr. Pelton is a pharmacist, clinical nutritionist, health educator. He's scientific advisor for Essential Formulas, Inc. By the way, you can get more information about the Dr. Ira's probiotics products at essentialformulas.com. And the spelling is tricky. I always screw it up. It's you tend to think it's going to be two R's, but it's actually two H's. So it's O-H-H-I-R-A. That's a little bit of a different way of spelling when translated into English. When we return, more on the subject of optimizing gastrointestinal health. And we're going to touch upon your work on drug-induced nutrient depletions in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thank you, Ross. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.